Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. And as you know, I wasn't on the air last week, but Tori, my partner, was on the air. And I want to thank him for sitting on this in the studio on the air last week with you. I hope it was a great interview that you guys enjoyed out there, and I hope that you'll get a good one this week. So anyways, we have a special guest speaker on the air today with us, and his name is Don Bean. Good morning, Don.
Well, good morning.
And Don is a man with many years of experience and a lot of season behind him, and he's going to share today a lot about just the Lord and just what God's done in his life, but also regarding men and how what men are going through. And his message today is going to be geared toward talking to men. So if you're out there and you know a man that needs to be ministered to, put him on the radio. Let him listen to this show today. So, Don, let's talk a little bit about how you got started in ministry. I mean, you can talk a little bit about your testimony, how you got started in ministry, and this kind of throughout the hour we'll be asking questions, but we'll lead to where we're going to go. But let's just kind of give the audience a little bit of introduction about who you are.
Well, I like to just give a little bit of background because it relates to what the Lord called me to do, because my heart was really to help men that are in crisis. And that in order to do that, I think some of these things you experience here yourself. For myself, I was born in San Francisco, grew up in Oakland. My dad was not in my life. And there's a certain void that happens when that you experience that type of thing, because God created the family unit with a husband and a father, and he is the spiritual priest of the home. And I feel when that's removed, it gives us the wrong direction in our life. So I was raised by grandparents and my mother, but always felt that I was somehow not a part of that family. I struggled with thoughts of suicide at the early age of 8 years old, and even struggled with it as an early teen. But a life jacket was kind of sent out to me, or a, how do you want to call it, a safety net. One of the high school teachers who was a PE coach, I'll never forget his name, Woody, got a bunch of us boys together in Explorer Scouting in a church in Oakland. And that was the first time I really ever felt accepted. These men really reached out to the boys, and most of them, like I said, came from divorced families. And somehow he knew maybe about 10 of us boys that needed something more. And to me, that was a safety net to have men actually be interested in helping me. But I was motivated to make a success out of my life. I had a career path I was going to follow. I wanted to be an automotive designer. I even went to Detroit when I was 17 years old and walked up into the tower of General Motors with an armful of drawings, wanted to talk to a man named Harley J. Earl, who had written me a letter, who was the vice president. Of course, I didn't get to see him, but that was my motivation. And that was sort of that emptiness inside of me that wanted to be fulfilled. And I thought the best way to do that was to get educated and to be successful, quote unquote. Well, it dawned on me I didn't want to live in Detroit, so I kind of backed off on that. But I started working when I was 12 years old as a janitor, and worked even while I was in high school. So work was a strong drawing card for me. So I worked myself through college. I got graduated from San Francisco City College. I graduated from the University of Southern California, a couple of years in grammar school, and also got accepted for a doctorate program at Stanford. Now, I don't mean to put those and elevate. I just want to give you the background and the motivation here that
That's fine. Go ahead.
I was going through. Even though I was involved in a church, I really had never made a personal decision for Jesus Christ, because I didn't know that. This church I went to, was, I could have joined the Elks Club as far as the spiritual part of that. So there was that emptiness and that driving inside of me the whole time to be successful. And I did do things that were successful. I got out of school, and even after working my way through school, I was able to get a job. I was a Teamster truck driver in Southern California, in Los Angeles. And that's how I worked my way through school. I also met a wonderful lady, and we became married, and we've been married for many, many years. But I'm kind of getting a hold of my story now.
Yeah.
What I really want to share is, why was I driven to do this? I worked designing two cycle engines when I first got out of school, and I worked Hughes Aircraft and Systems Analysis Operation Research, which was a think tank. impressed. All the people I worked with had doctorate degrees, and I just was with a master's. But even though you have that type of thing in the work ethic, I still didn't feel that void. I then became a group engineering manager in Palo Alto for Philco Ford, and even that didn't satisfy. I became a research scientist for NASA, Ames Research Center. That still didn't. And I kept moving in that direction, and yet that fulfillment wasn't there. So I finally became a president of a Silicon Valley corporation, and that was something that, you know, people kind of applaud. But inside, I still had that emptiness. I finally came to a head. I dropped out of the church I was going to. I had a wonderful family, two young children. And I told God, if you don't have anything better in this church, I'm out of here. Mm. Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. We know that.
That's correct. He does.
And I was out Saturday morning washing my car. I'm a car lover. I had a brand new car. And I saw this man coming down the street dressed up in a suit with two little kids. I thought, oh boy, I think I know what's going to happen here. So I rushed around trying to get all the stuff put away and get in the house, but he nailed me. And he said, do you have some children? I said, well, yes, I have two young children. He said, well, we'd like to have you come to bring your kids to our Sunday school for children. I said, oh, that's fine. I kind of acted like a smart guy. I said, is it all right if we come too? Oh, yes, 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 we'd love to have you come. So I thought, well, that was kind of interesting. The church is only a block from my home. I've probably driven by it hundreds of times. I hadn't thought much about it. About 3 in the afternoon, there's a knock on the door, and it's the pastor of this church. And a super friendly guy. I thought, man, these guys really must be hard up for parishioners. But once I got into that church, it was a fundamental church. I had a fraternity brother that belonged to it. He didn't dance, he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't do anything. I thought, man, this church has really got to be kind of an uptight bunch.
Yeah.
But when I walked in there, I just felt the love of Jesus through these people. And it's kind of just melted my heart. I couldn't stay away from it. I'd only been there a short time, maybe less than a month. And they had something going on Sunday night, an evangelist. I had no idea what an evangelist was. But I made the mistake, I thought, of going. Well, that night, the Lord really tugged on my heart. They sang Amazing Grace 3 times, and I couldn't stay away any longer. So I accepted Christ in my life that night, and it was a dramatic change for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after that change, it was in the business world. I thought, man, what am I doing? I'm working very hard in a corporation. And that verse came to my mind or my heart. Was it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That Lord, what am I doing?
That's true.
Well, how do you resign when you're the president of a company? Not too easy. But the Lord got me out of that business, and that's some 10, 15 years later. Meantime, I've been active in a church and doing things. I love to teach. I always love to be around teenagers and young people and college-age students. But things began to change. And as that change occurred, I finally said, Lord, I just want out of this. And in the early 90s, I left that business. I sold it to a competitor. I walked away with almost nothing. But I did walk away with freedom. And it was a freedom to do what Christ wanted me to do. And here I'd been involved with presidents of Silicon Valley corporations. I belonged to the Christian Presidents Group. We had all this kind of going on. And the Lord said, you know, you need to help people. You need to be open to people. I always cared for people, even as a owner and a president and an employer. But most of all, I cared for men that had difficulties in their life. So the church I got involved with was a very large church in San Jose. And after the business problem, we had some IRS problems and all this kind of stuff, I ended up with a heart attack. I'll never forget, I was in that hospital, and this pastor came into the hospital, prayed with me, and he said, Don, don't you think it's about time you came on staff now? And, well, I didn't want to do that because I didn't pay very much. I thought, Lord, I'll come on staff. So I went on staff at that church and ended up in the counseling ministry in a 5,000-member church and altar workers and a visitation ministry, and I loved doing it. I think there's an important lesson here. The Lord gives you certain spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you recognize those gifts, you have a joy in doing them. It's not the money you make or the allocates or the respect. It's serving the Lord with the spiritual gifts he's given you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was a part-time job, but I was working about 60 hours a week in this part-time job. And the pressure of living in San Jose in that fast pace, I made the decision to move out of that area. And we moved up to Paradise, California. That was about 20 years ago. We started pastoring a small church here in Chico at 13th and Broadway. And this church was probably had about 10 or 12 very senior citizens. And I thought, Lord, what are you doing calling me this church? Well, it just so happened that there was a men's ministry that had their office in this church called the Well Ministry of Rescue here in Chico.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
And that just opened up a whole new area for me. I'd worked with some men in San Jose and saw men that had gone through what I call the system, but the Well Ministry was a new venture. And the director of it, we became friends because he had his office in our building, and he'd said, Don, could you talk to some of these men? Well, that opened up a whole area of being involved in counseling with men. Mm-hmm. And my heart goes out because I looked at myself and I thought, you know, for the love of Jesus, I would be like one of these men. And so many of these men I dealt with had a certain profile.
Please explain that to us. Tell us about that.
Pardon me?
Explain that profile. Tell us about that if you can.
The main thing here that I saw with these men were a profile was almost typical of, I'd say, 90% of them. They never had a positive male role model in their life. And I saw that they don't have the coping skills to deal with what's going on in their families at age 8 to 10 to 12. So many of them I saw that went to drugs, mm-hmm. starting the ages of 10 to 14. And I know why they would do drugs, because you feel better.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And they don't know how to deal with life's problems at that early age. In fact, someone says most men really aren't developed until they're 30, and most women said that's probably true.
That so, seems to be the case nowadays.
So the ladies can clap in the background, but it's true, ladies. You've got to give those men some time to mature and grow up. But many of the men I dealt with, and then I went on the staff of the Well Ministry, I dealt with men coming out of what's called CRC. This was the program by the state that was helping men that had been in prison, incarcerated, because of drug issues. The drug issues usually need to have the drugs, and pretty soon you do the drugs for whatever it will take to get the drugs. So they get into the wrong types of behavior. They get into illicit behavior. So they end up in the system, and the system to me doesn't work. So I had these men for 6 months, 5 days a week. And I had as many as 13 men in the program at a time. One-on-one counseling, group counseling, classes, this type of thing. And the thing I saw here was that even though the classes are good, the counseling is good, it has no power to change anybody.
That's true.
I came and I told them, the only way you can change this is for Jesus to take control of this issue. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the men in three areas: the physical changes that occurred, the chemistry in their brains that occurred, the emotional need for the drugs, and also it's a spiritual problem. There's a word in the Bible called witchcraft, which is translated pharmacia, and that's where we get the word pharmacy from. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So we need to look at all three areas. I'm not a medical person, but I've worked professionally as a psychologist, and I am an ordained minister, so I could take two of the three and say, we need to look at this. So even though they've been through programs and programs and programs, and I'm not against programs, but my personal theory is unless you cover all three bases, if you only treat one or two of the bases, you still got one thing that's left undone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about spiritual warfare, even with Christians, if you mention the word deliverance, it just throws a whole different attitude in it. I don't even use that word. I use what, because the Bible says he sets the captives free.
Amen.
And he heals the brokenhearted.
Amen, that's so true.
And we need to stand on those words. We need to stand on those scriptures. Mm-hmm. If anyone's going through that problem, if you're listening to this program, I would ask you to consider the three areas of your life: the physical need for the drugs or the alcohol or whatever is controlling you, the things that have changed in it, because our chemistry in our brain does change. And then also the spiritual aspect of it. It can become a spiritual problem. You can open yourself up to that type of activity. So people that have drugs or alcohol issues, they've committed suicide because they can't solve the problem. And this is just what the enemy wants to do. It says Satan wants to kill and destroy, and he'll do it any way he can. So my heart goes out to people, especially men, that are drug-related problems, the emotional need for the drug. And I can take a stand on things that may not be popular, but I feel marijuana is an entry level to drug addiction. And people do not, they want to argue that with me, and I can say that, you know, you have a right to be wrong. I'm not going to argue with you.
It sounds like a pastor, I knew.
But anyway, my heart goes out for those in need. And that's what I do today. You know, I'm not 70 anymore. I'm 70.
Wow, you look great.
Not total. Don't add all those up. So that's where my heart is, to reach those that need a second chance. My feeling is the system doesn't work. I appreciate our new sheriff. I met with him. I was on the grand jury a year ago. Had the chance to see the new programs that the sheriff's office is doing. They need to make more space for those coming out of state prison. But what they've done, instead of just incarcerating people, they're trying to give them life skills and how to deal with life. And I really appreciate that they have a same-day reporting that people can be out on that monitor system. But they show them how they can gain work skills and skills on how to relate to family and to friends. So I appreciate what the sheriff's department is doing. And I appreciate that law enforcement can take that direction. They're out there to be counselors. They're to enforce the law. I understand that. I've worked with Chico PD. I've worked with Paradise PD. And I've worked with the sheriff's office. So,
Don, we're going to go to a break real quick. So, listeners, you are listening to KKXX Christ Today, 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. If you're enjoying this show, feel free to call 894-7325. 894-7325, and let us know if you have a specific request, if you have something that you have need of prayer for, and if you just want to give us some feedback, that would be great. Also, if you have any ideas of any upcoming things that you'd like to hear on the radio, or if you'd like to be a guest, feel free to give us a call and let us know, and we're going to get back to the show. All right, we are back to KKXX's Christ Today, and Tori.
Yeah.
You've been sitting listening to the show. Do you have any questions for Don?
Yeah, one thing that came up to me, Don, is as a child, you're growing up, you don't have the relationship with your father. You mentioned that you'd had stepfathers and not a strong, constant role model in your life. So, and I can see that's where you get your passion to help other men. But how did that affect you? As you growing up, did you then take that that lack of a father and try to turn it into success in the business world, or how did that affect you, and where did that lead to your passion to help other men that have taken a wrong turn in life or not being having Warden June Cleaver for parents? You know, not having the great home situation, and to be able to have a heart for those men to get them back on track?
Well, that's a good question, of course. First of all, for me personally, my addiction was to be successful. It is addictive behavior, and we call it compulsive addictive behavior. So I was driven to do that. And, of course, people applaud that. And it's so easy to accept the allocades and all that kind of thing, but I never really looked for that. I really didn't. What I wanted was that satisfaction inside, and I couldn't find it through that type of activity. I probably would have done drugs if they had been available at my age. But luckily for that high school PE coach, he was my safety net. And if I ever meet him in heaven, I'm going to say, thanks, Woody, for setting me free from where I was going. Because
what did he say to you? What was that turning point there?
Well, you know, he just had a way of liking you. I wasn't on a football team. He was a PE coach. He even got me a job at the high school. But he knew the boys somehow that didn't have the normal family. So he got those boys together, like I said, mm-hmm. in a scouting activity. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was a safety net, that actually men cared for these yeah. kind of rough. We weren't rough kids. We weren't bad kids at all. We were kind of lonely kids. Mm-hmm.
Lonely, yeah. needing some direction, guidance.
Needed direction. They didn't have that father. My best friend had a similar circumstance to me. So he sensed that somehow. Mm-hmm. I think he had a gift for knowing that.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a safety net. If that didn't have happened, I don't know what direction I would have taken. But I was driven to be successful. And I was to a certain extent. And I don't brag about that. I just say this is the direction I took. This was my addiction. This is what I cleave to. But I was also lucky to find a wonderful young lady from UCLA. And we were married for almost 60 years.
Wow.
And the Lord gave me the perfect wife. And, you know, I just feel I didn't even deserve such a wonderful woman. But the Lord did. What I would say to those that are listening to this and are suffering from things, God can help you change. He can heal the broken heart. He can take away the bad memories you've had. He can be the father of the fatherless.
That's right.
And he can set you free from the whatever addiction you may have. I mean, it can be in other forms. It can be in pornography. It can be in lust. I've counseled men with those issues. It can even be in things I can't even mention in the air, and drugs and alcohol.
I want to ask a question real quick, Don. Do you think that because men are hurting inside and they're not turning to people because there's no enough people out there showing that they care and showing support, do you think that men, instead of becoming better, become worse as a result of that? Or do you think that a lot of people say, well, I can't help it? Do you think that that is actual true, that they can help it? I mean, is there a way to get around that without, because there's a lot of men out there to say, I'm fine, I've got it all together and stuff. They don't have a relationship with God, but they tend to be really strong in who they are as a person, and they have never had these issues, so they can help men. You see what I'm saying, where I'm coming from?
Well, I think one thing I saw, and I worked with gangs in East San Jose in the barrio, I think for a lot of young boys today, they can be in a gang. Grammar school, junior high school, I saw boys in San Jose that were 8 or 10 years old making $20 for running some drugs. Hmm. I worked with a guy named Sonny Lara, one of the biggest gang leaders in that area, turned his life around and now reaches out to the gangs. So the gangs were the family for some of these boys. My day and age, we didn't have gangs like that, but today, especially in certain cultures, the gang is their family. So someone likes them, someone cares about mm-hmm. them, an older person, an older brother.
That's right.
Has that and says, you know, we'll take care of you mm-hmm. if you do what we want you to do. Mm-hmm. So it leads into the gang life. We have it in the prison system and all that. But you're kind of asking a question, do all men go through this? Of course not. But if you have that kind of family, you have that kind of support, you don't go through some of these things. But you're going to fill that void in there. And someone said, God created a vacuum inside of us that can only be filled by God. And I believe that. Mm-hmm. So if you have never had that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never had that relationship, God wants to fill that. And only God can fill it the correct way. Like I said he'll be the father of the fatherless and the widows. Mm-hmm. And I would say to people out there, open your hearts. If you're not sure about this, just ask an honest question. God, show me if you're real. I want to know. And I want to know, God, if you really love me, would you put that person in my life? I'm tired of doing what I'm doing. I'm going down a one-way street and I don't know how to turn around. And that street's the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So I ask you right now, I give you permission, Lord, to show me the direction I should go. Show me the things in my life that need to be changed. And I don't say that without really seriously considering it, because I use this a lot in counseling with couples and marital. I said, if you're really serious about trying to correct this problem and healing the relationship, would you be honest enough to pray this prayer? Lord, show me the things in my life that you see that needs to be changed. And watch out, because he'll do it. But be honest. You know, God loves you. He doesn't look at all the things you've done and beat you over the head with it. That's not what he does. Jesus' blood covers all those sins.
Hallelujah for the blood.
Every sin there is. And a lot of times I've seen men say, okay, I believe that. But what I saw so many, can you forgive yourself?
That's issue right there. Want to ask a question about that, Tori, or want to talk about that?
No, I think you're doing great. If you look at the world and how the family is attacked, with Hollywood television programs bombarded, degrading men, degrading fathers, degrading the family unit, making basically the father look like a bumbling idiot, with Homer Simpson style mentality. But there is an attack on the family from the world going on. How would you talk about that, Don? I mean, do you see that as well in the world, or what's your view on that?
Yeah, I really do, and that's a very good question. I think when I was in grammar school, I was the only kid I knew from a divorced family.
Wow.
It's almost the other way around now.
Right?
Well,
great majority.
Yeah,
that's so true.
And so this has just exploded. And I look at it and say, how did this happen? What's happened here? Well, I think the entertainment world today, what we see on television is, you know, in the 1950s when I grew up, it would be X-rated. Today we can see ads on TV for all types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what this says to young boys that are going through this growing up issue. We teach men to be tough and tough it out, and I can solve all the problems. Well, that means I'm the greatest, and I don't need God.
Mm.
I've been in the Marine Corps during Korea. I know what it is to take orders. I know what it's to be like and to be threatened. But men, you're not the great problem solver. Only the Lord is.
That's true.
And a real man will say, okay, I admit that I can't do everything the best way. I got to come to the point where I can need some help. And until you come to that point, you're going to be in the same rut over and over. And like they say, if the system doesn't work, why do you keep doing it?
That's right. As engineers,
we say, this is like a mental illness. We keep repeating the same thing over and over, and it doesn't work.
No, it's a form of insanity.
Well, that's true. And you're not insane, but you need to let go of doing it your way. And do not lean on your own understanding, the Bible says. Lean on God, and he will show you. Just open that door for him, and he will show you. Yes, life is a lot different today than when I grew up, but yet we still deal with some of the same basic issues. And I said it before, but Satan wants to kill and destroy, and he wants to destroy your family, he wants to destroy you, and he's very clever at doing it. So you need some help in this, and God's a lot smarter than Satan, and he's a lot more powerful.
Some of the greatest victories I've had in my life are at the point where I said, God, I can't do this. And if you really want this to happen, if you're like just with recently with ministry and direction and the radio program, I just got before him and I said, God, I said, you've laid all this stuff on our hearts to help children and free children from the sex trade and to build restoration homes. And I just came before the Lord and I said, God, I can't do it. I said, I really don't know how to even where to start. And I said, so if you really have put this on my wife and I's heart, and I said, then you've got to make it work out. I said, if you open the doors, we'll walk through them. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I did that, he started swinging open doors, making things happen. Divine Connections brought Curtis into my life, opened up KKXX, opened up a home church that we've started, led by the Lord to do so. And he's just opening door after door, making Divine Connections for our website, logo. I mean, just everybody's coming together and they're hearing about what we're doing. They're like, hey, let me do that for you. And so until then, it's like beating your head against a wall or not going anywhere. You're spinning your wheels. And just being honest with the Lord, telling him, I can't do this. And if you really want it to happen, you do it, and I'll walk it out.
I agree with you 100%. In fact, I've learned to say a prayer in the morning. I wish I could remember to do it every morning, but I say, Lord, show me what you want me to do today. And, you know, he will put people in your pathway. He will put your people in your life. I work out at a gym. I was praying with one guy. He's exercising on a bicycle recently. So we can be out there. And we can meet somebody at their point of need. And I think people will relate to that because they'll see the love of Jesus in you. They'll know that there's something different about you. You're not there to criticize them. You're not there to look down on them. You're to look at them equally.
Yeah.
And I did that with the men I dealt with that came out of prison. And I would, as we were talking, I just mentally pray, Lord, show me the potential you see in this person because I don't see it. And, you know, the Lord will do that.
Yeah.
And we need to treat each other like we like to be treated. But more than that, I think we have to have the desire of the love of Jesus in our hearts to meet people at their point of need, whatever that may be.
That's
so I applaud what you guys are doing.
Oh, it's a blessing. Curtis, did you?
I just wanted to ask, too. The church doesn't have a lot of godly spiritual fathers in it to help men that are in trouble. What is a way that we can get godly spiritual fathers and men in the church that can really help those that are in need of needing good role models? What is something that can be done to do that? Because we're even looking now where a lot of guys aren't even, I could be wrong, but from my way out, it's looking to me that a lot of men aren't even attending the church anymore. But those men that are in the churches that they're in, how can they become godly role models and godly fathers to those that need them?
You know, I wish I had the answer for all that question, Curtis, but... I just don't know how to answer that question.
Well, I think that if it's on somebody's heart, you know, the Lord puts things on people's heart. There's other people. And one of Satan's biggest tricks is to make you feel isolated or that you're alone or you're separated or nobody's going through what you're going through. And he plays that trick on everybody. But the fact is, we're all faced with the same things. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was faced with those temptations, but without sin. So he went through that, and he had overcame the world. He overcame it victorious, but he did it through the Word of God. So when we're faced with those different things, one of the greatest things that we can do is we've got something on our heart like you've done, Don, being able to help men. Taking your hurt and turning it into a ministry. There's other godly men out there that are listening today, I believe, that have that, can identify with Don and what he's done and what he's been able to do. And maybe you've went through some hurts or problems in your life, but now that you've found the Lord, be able to turn around and give back because the Lord, and if you don't know how to do it, say a simple prayer, just like I did. Get before the Lord honestly and tell him, hey, Heavenly Father, you've laid this on my heart, and I really don't know where to go or how to do it. And just lay it at the Lord's feet and ask him to show you and direct your paths, and he'll do it. He'll bring those divine connections together and start opening up the doors. You may just go to the Raley's, or you may go to your supermarket of choice and run into somebody in an aisle and start talking to them, and the Lord will make that divine connection. Or however it is, maybe there's some new people at church. Welcome them in and look at them with the love of the Lord, and he will open up the doors.
I agree with you. I'm going to say something that maybe I'm not going to be the most popular comment. But I think we can go to church nowadays. And I was recently in Texas for 8 months, and I went to a very large, upscale church in Texas. And all very nice people, dressed up very nice. They hear a nice sermon, sing a few hymns, put something in the offering, shake somebody's hand, get in their car, go out for dinner, and that's their involvement. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what are we doing?
Playing church.
We're playing church. Mm-hmm. And I say that some of these churches are Christian entertainment centers.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
You can just feel good about going in church, and that's it.
Social clubs.
I think what you said earlier.
Got to be the hands and feet.
We need, well, the church isn't that building down the street.
Right.
We are the church.
Yeah.
Then
we are the temple.
And we're the temple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the churches ought to challenge some of those men.
Yeah.
Lord, we have a problem over
here. The pastor
here.
Can't do it all.
In part of town, we got gang kids sitting in the park, and people are afraid to go in the park. How about some of you men just going over there and maybe handing out a gift certificate, not giving them money, maybe taking them over and buying them a lunch,
mm-hmm.
or just sitting down and talking to them?
Yeah, so true.
I was able to stand on the corner down by the Chico Natural Foods Co-op. I love going there. Great place. And there's a gentleman there on the street corner, and I know he was homeless. And I just started talking to him, and he started opening up about the Lord and that he had been there at a time in his life but had fallen away and gotten into alcohol. And before our end of our 20-minute conversation, I had been able to lead him back to the Lord, to make a recommitment to the Lord.
That's
and
awesome.
Encourage him that the Lord can take him from where he's at and move him beyond what he could dare ask, think, hope, dream, or desire. The Lord can restore him, and continue to pray for him. And every time I see him, I say hi to him, and I'm sure that I'll get to see him again. But, I mean, it's just, we need to be thankful that we're not on the street. Don't think that you're so wonderful that you can't end up there. That could happen to anyone. I agree, success is a you know, a bunch of good choices made together, you know, but, and there's certain things that in people's life that may have been so devastating to them that they didn't know where else to turn. And so we need to have compassion on those people and be willing to pray for them and be. And what I love about Jesus, it said in the Bible that he went about doing good. So I think that's a good example to follow.
Yeah, he never down-talked people.
No.
I always met him. I was just thinking about some of the things you were saying, and I think so many times people can get hurt in churches.
That's right.
I worked for hospice for a couple of years as a chaplain, and I dealt with people that had less than 6 months to live. And of course, most of them were advanced years, but not all of them. And so many of them I'd ask, and we were trained to ask this question, if you have a pastor, we want to contact your pastor so they are aware of where you're at. And of course, hospice is you have been diagnosed by a doctor that you have less than 6 months to live. But I've seen so many people that no longer had a church relationship. And what had happened, they had been wounded in church.
Mm-hmm. I hear so much of that.
And we need to reach those people too. You know, gossip in churches is just deadly, and it can happen. We're not perfect in church.
That's right.
We're just saved.
Yeah.
By the grace of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And so we see people like that. We need to have empathy for them, as I call it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to ask open-ended questions and shut up and listen to what they're telling us.
That's the issue.
And
people don't listen enough to people that are really hurting.
And I just pray in my own mind, Lord, help me say what you want me to say.
That's right.
And sometimes you don't have to say a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You just listen.
Listen.
And then you can kind of get over that barrier that this person realizes you're not trying to put them down or look down on them. You're actually showing some care for them. Mm-hmm. And that will open up a door. And I think that's what you were saying earlier. I liked working with younger people because they were more open than older people. And one time I had a guy that was a scientist in a hospice, and he really did not have a relationship with God. Well, I let him kind of go on, and he was talking down to me, and I thought, that's okay, I can handle that. So the next time I saw him, I told him what I did, and I kind of opened the door, oh, you're this or that, and you worked for NASA. Oh, okay, all right. So it kind of got us on an even playing field. But what he told me, this guy is a very intelligent man. I really liked him, but he was extremely self-centered in himself. But he finally opened up and said what turned him off as a young boy. He said he went to his, I don't know if it was a priest or a pastor, but anyway, his dog had died. I think he was about 8 years old, the boy. And a priest or minister said, well, that's just a dumb question. That turned that man off for the rest of his life. I tried to share with him, but he ended up in the hospital at Feather River Hospital. I can't say too much more than that, but the man I worked with, Tom Adams, who is also a chaplain and a full-time pastor, had the joy of leading that man 3 days before he died to Christ in the hospital.
Praise the Lord.
That's awesome.
So we never know what we say or what the Lord uses us for. We're not the one. The Lord, the Holy Spirit's the one that leads people to accept mm-hmm. Christ. And sometimes we just say, Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to do. And people read you.
That's right.
The experts, and I was in graduate school, 70 or 80% of our conversation is not verbal, it's physical. So I sit here with my arms crossed looking at you. It's a lot different than I'm leaning towards you and wanting to hear what you say. So be careful how your body language speaks to people. And today we have everything in electronic communications. We have all these wonderful things. I helped design computers, but they had vacuum tubes in those days. I am from another era when it comes to this electronic age. I can't even figure out how to use my iPod, cell phone, whatever you call it. And today our culture is we no longer talk to each other. We use this electronic device, and it changes how we interrelate with people today. I can say some horrible things on that thing and destroy a person and never see them.
Yep.
So we need to be careful.
And that's been done, too.
It's a different culture today.
Yeah.
I'm still in the old culture. I like to talk in person.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
anyway,
it's,
that was
it's best when you get into texting, and it's so easy because you never know how the other person is going to read it or what type of frame of mind they're going to be in when they pick up their phone and read your text. Yeah. You may not even mean it the way they understood it.
That's right.
But it's so easy to possibly offend someone. So.
Well, see, they have no emotional contact there.
Right,
you don't
yeah.
see them.
And they might just read it however, whatever mindset or emotion they're in at the time and what they're feeling, and offset things.
So. The computer and texting is not a way to real personal communication. Yeah. It is a way that people hide behind something and talking, because you can't really tell what a person's saying when they're on the other end of a computer or a cell phone. And I think that's one of the biggest things today that's missing is communication, people being real with people. Where Don had somebody be real with him. If Don was Don today talking to somebody and they were trying to be real with him on the phone, that wouldn't work. Being real with him on the computer, on Facebook, that wouldn't work. And I think there's a lot of people today, and that's where they turn. They turn there looking for answers instead of being open. So if you're a person out there and you're hurting and you're going through something, find somebody that you can trust in, that you can believe in, open up to them, share with them, and hopefully, prayerfully, they'll be able to be open and be willing to help you, because that's what is needed, is people hearing what people need and then being able to respond. Which, why be open if nobody's going to respond to what we have need of?
Curtis, how much time do we have left today?
17 minutes.
17 minutes. Should we take a break and come back? And
yeah, we can take a break
and
come back.
And we'll finish up here with Don.
Yeah. All right, folks. We're on KKXX 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. It is Thursday afternoon, or actually not Thursday afternoon, Thursday morning, and we were play on Saturday morning. And we are here today with Don Bean in the studio. But our break is to have you guys give us a call and encourage us. If you guys love the show, if you guys are impressed by the show, if you're blessed by the show, feel free to call 894-7325. 894-7325. And you didn't hear from me last week, and it's going to be a hit and miss over the next few weeks, but Tori, my assistant, is helping me
out.
And good friend is going to be helping me out with shows on the air, because I need help. I am at the YWAM base in Richardson Springs, and I'm helping up there for 3 months, so I'm not going to be able to be down here all the time. And I really am impressed with Tori's radio ability. So I want to encourage you guys to give us a call and let us know if you guys are, have anything for him and share with him. And we're going to get back to the show. All right. And once again, if you want to call us, it's 894-7325. And we are now back at the program.
Hey, Don. One thing. Did you have something? Go ahead, Don. I've got a great question.
I want to say something.
Yeah, please do.
Well, it's different than what we're talking about.
Well, that's all right.
Fine. Go ahead.
It's your show.
Well, I've been getting information from people that really study the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And one of them that comes to our breakfast is Pastor Don Arney, a missionary.
He was on last week.
He was on last week.
What was he?
Yeah,
he did a great job.
He's
got a lot on the end times happening. And so if he shared that, then...
You need to go back and listen to it. It's on the christtoday.org.
Christtoday.org.
Yeah, go back and listen to all those.
The Lord put in my heart, and I'll just say this among us.
Hey, please.
Because I worked in this area of military electronics and warfare and all that. I think what could happen is it's called solar flares. Solar flares have caused problems in the past.
You're right.
No, I just talk a little closer.
I'm not on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air. You're still being.
Yeah, we can. That's all right. We're going to make a little. Andrew can make a little break here. He'll cut this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just. You were so far back, it wasn't.
Picking it up. Off the air. Okay,
yeah.
Off the air. Okay, Andrew, he's going to. You want to just pull it down?
I shut it. Hold on.
Different dimension to it.
Okay. We don't have to go there.
No, do.
Okay.
I'd like to do it.
All right. Go, Tori. We're back.
Sorry. All right. Hey, Don, something that my dad had, I remember from growing up, that my dad was excited about these full gospel businessmen movement that was going on. It was just like 70s, 80s when my dad was involved in this. And I remember him being excited about it, really encouraged about a bunch of men getting together and fellowshipping, and talk about your involvement with that, and I'm excited to hear about it.
Okay, well, my first involvement was I remember going to a hotel meeting, and I remember looking in this room, and these men were They were acting crazy out there. Man, what a weird group this is. A friend invited me and said, I'm not going in there. I mean, they're pushing on each other. They're laying on the floor. And I thought, this is crazy. This is a weird group. Well, I used to commute to work. At the time, I lived in Sonora, and I commuted to San Jose every day with an airplane. I wasn't the pilot in command. A good friend of mine, Tom Withers, an executive of one of the computer companies, about four of us were flying together. Well, anyway, one of the guys always sit in the back, and every time we're taking off, he's mumbling in the back, and every time we land, he's mumbling about something, and I didn't know what he was doing. His name was Wayne. Well, my daughter had some emotional problems, and I'm trying to connect the dots here to make a long story short. She'd been in and out of mental institutions and all that, and a wonderful person, but she's normal. But anyway, she was finally in the psychiatric ward in San Jose, and her husband said, I can't handle this anymore. And I brought her home to where we lived in Sonora, and this fellow Wayne came over and prayed with her on a Saturday afternoon. Well, we went through something we'd never seen before in our life. The Lord set her free.
Praise God.
Of spiritual beings. My wife wrote these personalities down. There was 27 of them. My daughter talked in a different voice and a different thing. And I thought, my gosh, what is going on? I mean, church, I'm in
somebody's car went off out there in the parking lot.
The church I am, I've never heard of this stuff. So we were just unbelievable. My daughter was set free.
Praise the Lord.
And it was normal after that.
Hallelujah.
So I saw this miracle occurring. I thought, this guy, my friend Wayne Sparks. Well, anyway, the upshot of this, he says, you know, we got a group here in Sonora, and it's kind of only about three or four of us left. Why don't you come over and we'll have a meeting? That's what I did. They said, Don, we're a full gospel businessman, and we want you to be the president because we need to have help. And so I thought, am I going to join this group that I thought was such a weird bunch of guys? Well, I did, and that chapter grew to such an extent that we couldn't find a restaurant.
What year was that?
What year?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think right now. It had to be in the early 80s.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, and when I moved back to San Jose, I became the chapter president of the San Jose chapter. The Lord works in funny ways. Something I thought was completely nuts, crazy, when I first saw it, but I saw how lives changed because we looked at the full spectrum of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and worked miracles on people. My daughter set free from years of being under the influence and of control. My son-in-law spent almost $42,000 for her care in a mental institution, and he's been normal ever since, and that's from about 1986 to today.
Hallelujah.
So I can say Full Gospel Businessmen was a great organization for me to be involved in. But when I first saw it, I kind of poo-pooed it and thought, these guys are nuts. But, you know, when the Lord's in it and you have joy and happiness and you can be excited, it's a wonderful feeling.
That's a great point, Don, because I've been in situations that I'm like, man, I don't want to be involved in this, or it just seemed strange or weird, but asking the Lord, and then he opens up doors and makes opportunities. So I think it's important for us not to, turn away too quickly or turn a blind eye or judge the situation, but to ask the Lord and let his leading guide and direct us.
Like I said, I worked as a psychologist, but in a much different area, and I worked with psychologists, and I don't put them down. But they have no power to change. And we can rehash the same issue over and over and come in every week for a 45-minute session. And, I'm not against that. I just feel it's leading us in the wrong direction. And let's face it, the enemy can be very clever and appear as an angel of light.
It's crafty.
He can give us this false feeling of security. And we're still in the same problem. We rehash the same issue over every week. And we pay $100 for this guy to listen to us. not a bad deal for them.
Right.
And I'm not trying to destroy psychology. Yeah. Don't believe
There's
that.
There's some good ones out there.
But you got to look at all three areas, like I said before. You need to look at the emotional need, mm-hmm. the physical need, and the spiritual need. And I'm sure there's psychologists that do that.
Well, Don, we met up through Curtis up here at the men's prayer breakfast. in Paradise that we have on a weekly basis. And so at this point, the Lord has led you and directed you throughout your life, and I see that you still have a lot to give and to pour into people and to pour into men. How would you, you know, maybe you could guide and direct others that are looking to help and to reach out to their community or reach out to other members in their church. What would you suggest that they do, or can they, where would they get started?
That's a great question. I really appreciate you answering. I was thinking of the answer as you're explaining that. I think, first of all, you've got to say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And he'll do it.
That's true.
But until you let go of driving your life and turn this controls over to the Lord, you're not going to be able to do it.
That's true.
So it's an honest question. And I ask, and I wish I could remember to do it every day, Lord, show me what you want me to do today. Then the other thing is to really care for people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet somebody, just say, Lord, show me what their need is. And then be a good listener. Never condemn somebody.
Yeah.
You can say, I don't agree with you. That's an honest statement. But don't try to put the other person down. Don't try to be the superior person in the role. You don't know everything.
No. Don't act like you do.
You need to have the heart to care for people.
That's right.
I think that's a gift. I have a gift of mercy. That's tough.
It is a gift.
That's tough to have when you're running a corporation.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for people.
Yeah.
But the Lord, when you use your gift, you'll have a real joy doing it. And that's what I experienced going on the staff of a church and relieving myself of running a corporation, and I could be involved with people and I could care for people. Did I like everybody? Well, maybe not. But the Lord could show me to love them. And that's what I think we need to do. And if you don't love yourself, you need to ask the Lord to show you that you are loved. You're wonderfully and beautifully created in God's sight. He didn't make junk when you were born. You may have some difficulties.
So true.
You know, you may abuse the car. If we can design and make a car, the Lord could do a lot better when he designed and made you, because you're wonderfully and beautifully made.
I'll give an example, something of what Don just said. I have a testimony there. The men at the YWAM base, there's four of them, and there are going to be a couple of them coming on the show in a couple of weeks. But they are reaching out to young boys in Hamilton City. Hamilton City is only about two blocks long, with a lot of migrant farmer workers, immigrants, different people that live out in Hamilton City. But there's a lot of farms and stuff out there, but there's only about two blocks of a city to it. And there's a lot of kids out there that are being reached by four men. They're going out there, they're playing soccer with them. They're really getting to know them. And they were sharing the other night about the impact that they're seeing on these young kids' lives. So where there's a need, step in and fill it. Instead of calling a young boy, call him a young man. If he's 13, he's no longer a boy. He's no longer a kid. He is becoming a young man. Reach out to that young man and share something into that young man's life that would be in a, you don't know what that young man's going through. You don't know what he's thinking in his head. He might be thinking, I'm a no good. I'm up to no good. There's nothing I can do that's good. And your encouragement to him, which I had a lot of growing up, could really keep him on the track of not wanting to do something stupid like committing suicide or taking their life, but to continue living and maybe being what God would have them to be, because only God knows what he put each person here for. None of us knew what we were put here for, but God did. And so if we're open to what God wants to do, it's amazing how God will use us. So that's what I wanted to say, is just the guys up at the Springs. I mean, there's four of them up there. I'm not going to name who they are, but there's four of them. And every Friday, they're going out to Hamilton City. And they're ministering to the young boys out there, and they're going to be out there tomorrow. And so if you see somebody, even in this town of Chico or Paradise, and you want to reach out, don't hold back. Ask the Lord to use you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to work through you. And reach out and do something to make an impact in someone's life.
Well, years back, we were going to start helping kids in a secondary high school up in Magalia. As soon as we found out we're a Christian organization and pastors, the door was shut. But I still go to football games. I go to Paradise High's football games that my grandson played years ago. I enjoy sitting in a section with the high school kids, 2 weeks ago, I went to the game. I got in the wrong section. I was with all the high school kids, obviously. I
fit right in.
I wasn't a graduate student. I hadn't graduated yet. But just to sit there and listen to them and watch them and talk to them and talk to the young man next to me, and I'd say I was impressed with these kids. They were clean cut. The language is decent. They were polite, not overly polite. But I thought, man, what wonderful young people. When I talked to the young man next to me, I said, what year are you? And he said, I'm a senior. I said, what are your plans after graduation? I said, what kind of career are you looking to do? What do you want to do about schooling? You know, when you start asking those kind of questions, that person begins to care for you or listen to you or show you respect. So I was impressed with the kids I saw at Paradise High School. Are all of them like that? Sure, I know they're not. My grandson's had problems in high school. But, you know, we need to be where they're at. I remember last year, a couple of years ago, I asked a bunch of teenage students there, girls and a couple of boys, I said, do you guys ever go to a youth group at church? Oh, no one goes to those things.
Oh, really?
I thought, why? I wasn't going to argue with them or anything. But I never saw a youth pastor at that football game yet.
Yeah, that's sad.
Just wonder, you know, do we expect them to come to us? We have to go to them like you're talking about, Curtis, these men that go to Hamilton City. We got to go. We got to take the initiative.
Go ye into all the world.
And maybe there are some pastors that go to those games. I just haven't seen any, so I don't want to put them.
Sure, yeah. Condemned. And the pastor can't do everything. The congregation needs to get out and be involved.
Exactly.
You know, the pastor can only do so much. He needs the help of the congregation to be able to go out and take the message and to reach other people, not just to be going there to get your one time that you get in the Word for that week. But to get you through to next week, but we have to take that word and apply it in our lives and let the Lord mold us, guide us, direct us, grow us, and prosper us in His plan, because we all have a plan from the Lord for good, and we can fulfill that plan and call upon our lives.
We got to pray out, guys.
It's time to end?
So,
Tori, oh, man.
Tori, why don't you pray us
sure.
out real quick?
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Christ Today radio program here on KKXX. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for opening up these opportunities that we have every week to talk about your goodness and to have Don Beam on today. Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord, that this program is able to reach the lives of many men and people throughout our listening area, to change them, to give them a goal, to give them a direction and an encouraging word. And in timely manner, Heavenly Father, to open up doors before them, to encourage them that you can make a difference. And that those that are lost or struggling, Heavenly Father, to let them know that you love them and it's not too late. And no matter what they've done or how they feel they're not good enough, that you love them and you've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be their Lord and Savior. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this great opportunity. We give you the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.